Dedicated to all the hackers, the crackers, to the hackers and the crackers. I see it's binary, I speak source code. Step on my toes, I'll post a million JPEGs of you in a fat pose. In your digital stance, hitting firewall code. Cause I'm riding the net in my 6-4. I was a dick with my 6-6. Now with my cable, I'm able to get that stable. On the out, my name is Ace and I'm a Leo. Digital highway, my name is Neo and I'm a hero. In a flash, I'll sue you on burning green gas. You need some ISOs? Let me do my hard drive rifle. I'm a shame you would never stifle. Digital hood, you just caught the love bug. I bootleg CDs, I caught the price between UN and JP. You see, G, it's all gonna be free. Whether we take it by force or we take it nicely. You feel that rattle in your bones? I tell you, we just hacked our phones. And NASDAQ, you get shot on your back. I am he who loves to hack and crack. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Dedicated to the hackers and the crew.
Good evening, welcome to Binary Revolution Radio, episode number 129 for January 3rd, 2006. I'm Strom Carlson.
I'm Black Ratchet, and with us this evening is Low Tech Mystic. What do you think? Gotta love that cell phone delay there.
Oh boy, cell phones.
Yay!
Yeah, well, I told him he could call on his cell phone because Low Tech Mystic is cool. So this is our first episode of 2006. I'd like to wish everyone a happy New Year.
Yes, happy New Year. Hope you all had a fun New Year's Eve celebration. Hope you didn't get too incoherent.
I got pretty incoherent. And I got pretty sick.
I used a Rode flare irresponsibly.
Come on. How can you irresponsibly use a road flare?
Use it like you were a sparkler.
See, that's not irresponsible.
Yes, but shooting a flare gun up into the air and having it land on the house next door is irresponsible, so...
Yeah, that might be pushing it right there. I think we're going to have to save that for personal hacking stories.
Yes.
So, actually, we do have a bit of a housekeeping. Strom has housekeeping. Strom didn't do the housekeeping. That's what we're talking about, housekeeping.
I didn't put up the podcast for episode 128, last week's episode, and I apologize for that, but I have been so incredibly busy with this new consulting gig I'm doing that it's, like, swallowed up all of my available time. I don't know what the hell happened to the previous week. Literally, well, I'll actually save this for my hacking story, but I will tell you guys what I was doing on New Year's Eve.
Apparently shooting up flare guns and lighting roofs on fire.
No, that was just after midnight. I'm talking about perhaps 6 or 7 hours previous.
Shooting off more flare guns?
No. Should we just start right off into the personal hacking stories, I guess?
No, we'll save this. Do you want to go into the email? So will episode 128 be up?
Episode 128 will be up. I guarantee you that. It may not be immediately. I'll probably put it up as I put this one up, so I'll do them both at the same time.
Okay, that works. So we would just like to apologize. And as always, I mean, I didn't even notice that it wasn't up, and people actually didn't tell me. The first time I actually heard about this was yesterday, I think? A couple of days ago, and then I had to run out for New Year's. And I completely forgot about it until someone pointed it out to me this morning. I was like, okay. So technically I couldn't say, just send me the file and I'll do it. Because normally we do that sometimes, but...
Yeah, anyway, before we go into email, everybody get your dialing fingers ready because it's live again and we're taking calls. So get your dialing finger going. I hope you've been doing those finger workouts we told you to do last week.
And I dial with another extension of my body.
Oh, do you?
Yes.
Well.
My nose.
Nose dialing. Well, get your dialing appendage ready.
Appendage, I love it.
Dialing appendage, and dial 800-732-0442 from within the U.S., or from outside the U.S., dial area code 213-415-1047.
And we're actually, maybe next week, maybe the week after, we'll soon be having a gift to all of our dialing audience. We'll have something that's a little more easy to remember, we hope.
Yeah, we were supposed to have it up this week, but apparently my long distance provider just decided to crap out on me. So, yes,
unless you want to talk to a modem, that number won't work.
Yeah, so we should have a new number eventually, but give us a week or two.
All right. So, Low-Tech, how are you doing? I'm sorry. We're just sort of, like, blundering on here with all of our housekeeping.
No worries. I'm doing very good.
just very good. Oh, well. See, Low-Tech just doesn't want to talk tonight.
Now you make me feel bad.
So, the amount of giggling sounds like he's already drunk. Oh, right. Those good old boys.
Oh, yeah.
I'm having some beer over here.
Yes. So, I don't know, Low-Tech. Do you think we should go straight into email?
That sounds like a plan to me, man.
Okay, here we go with email.
Radio@thinred.com.
Our first email will be just as soon as I pull this up. Our first email comes from Mike.
Yes, it was a reply from last week. He emailed us, if you don't remember.
Yeah. He says, "Hey guys, I'm not a Fed. I left government work a long time ago. Also, the 2006 Cybercrime Summit is at Kennesaw State University in Kennesaw, Georgia. Hope you guys have a great New Year's. Cheers, Mike."
Well, Mike, geez, you know, the only person that would design being a Fed is a Fed, you know. Right?
Design being a Fed?
Designing
Fed?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of mumbled that out.
It's designing Fed with Elsa Clench on CNN.
Well, I'm thinking more of designing Feds with, what's her name? Delta Burke. That's the... Fed that's trying to get all the women. I don't know. I'm just going to stop right now. Mike, you do know that the only person who would deny being a Fed is a Fed, right? You Fed. Either way, you know, we just want to talk about here. Plug the conference. I don't think it's more geared toward us. But someone show up, crash it. Of course, I think there's going to be all kinds of crazy law enforcement agencies there, so approach with your own risk. But either way, Mike, good luck, and go kick some ass. And I'm glad you're listening.
Our next email is from Azeriel. I assume that's how you pronounce it. It says, "Hey, I'd like to inform you that at least one Australian is listening, too. If you don't mind me doing so, I will advertise your site/radio show on all my favorite freaking/hacking sites. I love the radio show. It's a shame there are no Australian ones. Well, I'll continue listening and hope that you will mention your international listeners a bit and be... I'll continue listening and hope that you will mention your international listeners a bit and will be proud to be your Australian contact, Azeriel." Actually, I had looked at the map afterwards. It turns out that what I was looking at, Frapper only loads 50 points at a time when you first load it up. You have to click something else to load each additional 50 markers.
No, that kind of makes sense. It's actually that's actually kind of a good idea.
Is it?
Yeah, well, because, we'll go into my personal hacking stories, but I had a very interesting experience with Google Maps and the API. I'm going to say, I think it's Azeriel. That's at least how I'm going to pronounce it. I hereby designate you our new Australian PR person. You know, promote the hell out of us. We try to be somewhat, we try to cover topics that aren't just U.S. in nature, I guess.
Yeah, if we ever make stickers, we'll send you stickers.
Yeah. Actually, we should have some BinRev stickers. We should get like those European black on white stickers that are ovalish and make one that says BR.
Perhaps, yes. Although I think that's overdone. I mean,
for all of our Jetta people.
Yeah.
Doesn't
Mark Spencer drive a Jetta, I think?
I don't know. I've never met the man.
I think
you're does. You're the reigning Mark Spencer expert. I don't know. Call him up on the air. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, Azeriel, I also couldn't help but notice that you're not on our Frapper map. As far as I could tell, I clicked a couple things, unless you're using a different handle or something. But I did check it just before the show, and we're currently at 162 listeners.
Woohoo! We're going to have to throw a party when we hit 200.
I think so. I think so. Cool. We can have like a 200th listener anniversary special thingy. You mentioned how you didn't like how there was no Australian freaking hacking radio shows, and I mean, not to sound stupid here, but the only person to really blame is you. I mean, just find out someone that you know on the forums, because apparently there are Australian hacking freaking sites, I guess, or something. But Yeah, just, you know, find someone you like, find someone you know, and start your own Australian Hacksaw freaking show, Leap Master 2000-something. I don't know. So, actually, this kind of provided inspiration for tonight's show topic. We're going to do how to do your own radio show. So, everyone will be nice and excited and happy about that.
Step one, don't follow the show notes. Oh, wait a minute.
You never follow the show notes.
It's not that time yet.
No. Show notes are for wimps.
Yes.
So, so it's going to be doing your own show, and we're going to cover that, and that's why you have Low Tech on. Low Tech is the... nothing personal, Low Tech, but the person we were originally going to get on here was the hacker radio master himself, Droops, but Droops had to spend some time with his hot wife, so I can't really blame him for that. But Low Tech came in and heartily helped us out here, and he's leaked too, so I guess we're going to use him.
Woo!
I'm sure he feels very loved right now.
Yeah, second best is better than nothing, right?
Yeah, exactly. You also.
Well, just think. I mean, there's probably a third person I could have gone to, and it wasn't that, so you're better than that person right there.
Yes! High five.
We can't high five you over the phone.
Well, I can high five the transmitter. That didn't really work.
No, that didn't work at all. So, okay.
Personal hacking stories?
Yeah, personal hacking stories. And I think I'm on top of the show notes here, as always, but I think Strom's going to be going first here.
You better tell your story first, because I'm probably going to go ranting on for a while.
All right. Well, my story is I've been playing with Google Maps, and for those of you who hang out in the old school freaking forum, you know what I've been doing. I've been doing a Yapple project, and it's actually come to fruition. So I basically debugged this Google Maps application I've been working on for probably a good 4 hours, and I noticed my computer getting slower and slower and slower and slower, and I just kind of dismissed it as, like, you know, my sister downloading something because she's home from college, or I don't know, just random nonsense of Firefox eating up memory. And I finally got everything worked out, and I got everything working, so I finally say, oh, man, this is just really, really slow, and I open up Firefox, and I open up my task manager, because this was actually in Windows. I was debugging it with Internet Explorer as well. And I see, you know, Firefox.exe, you know, like 80% CPU and 512 megabytes of RAM. I'm like, whoa, okay. So this is why I think that a Frapper kind of limits it to 50 at a time, so you're not chewing up half a gig of memory after 4 hours of usage of maps. So further proof that JavaScript is evil.
Pure evil.
Except in Google Maps, because then it's just pretty cool.
Yeah. It's unavoidable evil in that case.
Yeah.
Necessary evil, let's put it that way.
Yeah, necessary evil. Okay, I can go with that.
All right.
Actually, my other thing is I've been also moving between servers. So if you, for example, somehow send me mail and I don't respond in like a couple of days, you might want to send it again because you might just kind of accidentally dropped into the bit bucket between two servers. My mail is moving over between one and another, and that's always about as fun as watching flies. I don't know. I can't think of a good analogy.
There's a fly crawling up the pull string on my blinds.
Yay! I show you not to have all that raw meat outside, but you don't listen to me.
Well, it's my lucky raw meat belt. Yeah,
So, anyway. What have you been doing for New Year's Eve?
Oh, let's see. So this past week, solid, I've been installing an asterisk system for one of my clients. I've started this whole telecom consulting thing. And let me tell you, they specified asterisk management portal, and like an idiot, I said, oh, yeah, I'll do that. I mean, I've heard that it's kind of bad, but it can't be that horrible. I was wrong, of course. It is quite literally, and this is putting it nicely, Asterisk Management Portal is the biggest flaming pile of dog shit on a stick, candy coated with pralines on top, and flaming. That is
flaming.
Yes.
Ooh. And you're an expert on flaming.
Yes. Yes, a flaming pile of dog shit on a stick with pralines on top and candy coated. That's how horrible it is. I'm sure there's like a baby Jesus in there too. It's absolutely the most abysmally horrible piece of software I've ever used in my entire life.
Tell us how you really feel.
Really horrible. Anyway, I've been banging my, the install was absolutely impossible. It's configuring it is like putting on mittens and then trying to solder. No, sorry, putting on boxing gloves and then trying to solder. It doesn't give you any flexibility. And so the other thing I did was that I cut my client over from POTS lines to ISDN PRI, because that way it's all digital and it's all happy and it's all good. I tried to put in a paging system, and I put a sound card into the machine, and it made the T1 card go haywire. Like, none of the spans worked, the thing was behaving intermittently, and so, okay. I swapped cards around, I couldn't get it to work, I finally said, to hell with it, pulled out the sound card, eventually went with the USB sound card, and that worked. But I pulled out the sound card, put the FXO card back in, and started up the system, and then I turned on the system, and it's... Let me prefix this for a second. I was doing this, I said, okay, let me put it back the way it was. It's about, 4:55 p.m. on December 31st. I want to get out of here. I want to go home. I want to go to my party, have a cool New Year's Eve. I can get back here and screw with it tomorrow. So I put everything back, turn it back on at 4:55 p.m., and I was planning to leave at 5. And then the system starts turning on and then starts beeping the vicious, screeching beep of death.
The vicious, what does the vicious beeping scream of death sound like there, Strom?
Sounds like,
Is it supposed to be doing this?
Well, it's supposed to be doing this under the conditions that it showed, which was that two of the three drives in the RAID 5 array had failed.
Oops.
Yeah. And so I looked at my friend who was helping me with this, and he looked at me, and he said, we can't leave here until the system is back up, right? And I said, oh, fuck. Should I just go to the drugstore and get some noisemakers and confetti now? So eventually it turned out that the system hadn't shut down correctly before I'd pulled the plug on it.
Oh!
For the last time, yeah, and the drives hadn't finished spinning down, so they automatically went into lockout mode. Fortunately, going into the RAID controller and forcing them back online fixed the problem. But trust me, one of the things that you don't want to do when you've got a New Year's Eve party to go to is hear the screeching beep of horrific final death.
Well, really, is there ever a time, like, even if you don't have a party to go to, that you want to hear that beep?
Well, no, but there are more convenient times that can happen. Like when you actually have time to fix the problem.
Well, I mean, there's always more convenient times, but you never really want to actually fix the problem. You just want it to work.
That's true. That's true. So then I came back on – so December, January 1st, I came back. Everything was working fine. I said, okay, I'll come back on the 2nd because then people are coming back, and I'll be able to just troubleshoot and make sure everything's working correctly. And, of course, New Year's Eve weekend had to be, like, the first major stormy weekend in Los Angeles in, like – months, and I come back, and I notice that calls rooting out over the POTS lines, and I say, what the hell? And I go back, and I look at the PRI, and the NIU is dead.
What's an NIU, sir?
The NIU is the interface device that the phone company installs at your end of the T1, so that it can remodulate the signal and send it out to the phone company. And it was dead.
Oops.
The PRI was down. The phones were all down. And I called up SBC, and they said, well, because of the storm, and because of the fact that today is actually a holiday, and we're on reduced staff, we can't get to your problem today, and we can send somebody out tomorrow. And it was at that point that I started really going totally insane. And I have spent the rest of the day... I spent the rest of the day yelling at the phone company, and I spent today yelling at the phone company, and also yelling at Digium, but that's another story, because it turns out the T1 card can't do an automatic loopback test from the phone company. Of course, the cool thing about being friends with Mark Spencer is that when Digium tech support says something which doesn't make any sense, I just call him and I say, hey, this makes no sense. And he's like, yeah, that doesn't make any sense. I'll get on it.
You and didn't name drop, are you?
Yes.
So
my client said, Strom, you rock.
Lulzer, oh my god, barbecue hacks.
Yes. We have callers on the line, which we'll get to in a second. Low-Tech, do you have any personal hacking stories that don't involve tearing your hair out?
Well, other than just recording on the radio show and working, not really a whole lot. I recorded a New Year's special while I was at work. I got a little dinky pizza delivery job, and so I had the honor of closing the restaurant on New Year's, so I took the opportunity while I was driving around to record a little audio and make a little dinky New Year's Eve special.
So what radio show is this?
This is Ninja Night School Radio. It could be located at ninjanightschool.com.
Just to plug that out there, because I know what it is, but not everyone else does.
That's right. And just to let everybody know that I was a little project of Droops the Site, the podcast incubator. And so, like, anybody who's interested in starting their own podcast, they can come to Podcast Incubator. And Podcast Incubator will provide a free hosting and a place for them to start their podcast and see if this is really what they want to do.
Because no one actually wants to produce a radio show. Lord knows we don't. We just have to do this. Because all these people like to listen to us for some odd reason. So, Strom, do you want to... We've got tons of callers tonight. I think this is a record. This is amazing. Three simultaneous callers.
Yeah. Well, actually, it looks like one of them fell off, but...
Oh, that stinks.
Yeah. So, anyway, let's see who's on 7001.
I always like how Strom talks to everybody, just to make sure they're okay. And we just sit here, wait for them to come in and say, hey, it's so-and-so!
Yeah. Okay, 7001 must have hung up. Let me try 7002.
Oh, we didn't have three simultaneous callers. This hurts us. Hurts us on the inside.
It burns. It burns.
Yeah, and that actually was an interesting caller. So if that caller wants to call back in, that was pretty cool. He was going
call
to talk
in.
About. Yeah, he was going to call about like this thing called AllPeers, which is like this peer-to-peer extension for Firefox. And that actually sounded interesting.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell it is. I mean, what the heck would you want a peer-to-peer client for a web browser? But apparently, someone thought it was a good idea. Yeah. Daft. Daft doesn't like us. Daft hates us on the inside. What's this? Wow, Strom. Way to talk there. So how long has Ninja Night School been around there, Low-Tech?
Ninja Night School has been around since we did the pilot at the beginning of August, and then I kind of put it around and put a couple shows out in the month of September, and we've been doing a couple episodes every month since.
Is it on like a fixed schedule, or is it just more of a... We'll do it when it's done.
Well, it's more of a we're ninjas, so you never quite know when we're gonna pop out next. So we like to keep you on your toes, so you know, we'll surprise you there.
So since if you're ninjas going to night school, are you ninjas without a GED?
Well, that's really the whole concept is that basically that we're all noobs or about something. So. What I try to do is just bring different topics to the table that I find interesting that are kind of obscure and people may not know about.
Yes, we all are new about something. That's something that I feel very much about.
We've got Druid on the show. Hello, Druid.
Druid, how's it? Strom, how's it going, man? I'm actually a reporter for USA Today, and I want to ask you a couple questions. Why did Lucky get banned from the BenRev forums?
I had a bet with Stank saying, I don't think any of the drama will spill over from the forums and come over onto the radio show. He said, oh, you're doing live call-in. Someone will call in. Something will happen. And I thought our audience was above it, but I guess not.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of sad to me. If someone wants to talk about this, I will be in the pound bin rev on irc.dial.net after the show, and people can ask me questions, and I will explain all of our positions as official bin rev members. And I think that will kind of put that. Well, hopefully, if people won't actually come up and try the show, because we don't like drama. We don't want drama to spill over from the forums onto the radio show. They're
and also,
yeah,
if you want to spill the drama, it means you're a stupid little kid. So
no, I mean people want to know, and I really
people
want
to know. Yes, but for some reason, people seem to want to know publicly. It's like they want to make a big deal of it. They want to you know, masturbate on the air. They want to get their name out there to some, you know, as the one who brought down, or you know, some stupid childish whatever the hell. They're
well, I mean, it's not only that. It's just it's also just people want to get out there. Yes, true. I think that's a portion of it, though. But just people, oh, geez, you know, why are you doing this? And they just want to put you on the spot. So, I mean, I'm coming out publicly, and I'm saying I will be there after 11 p.m. in the IRC channel. If you want to come and call me out, or just, you know, say that thanks horrible, just come on to the IRC, and we can talk about it there. So, actually, let's
take our third caller and see if
Night Lord
caller
does have
more of an adult.
Night Lord's a good guy, and he actually have a question that's kind of on topic, so we'll just use that to segue into the actual show material. And Strom fades out into oblivion. So, after 11 p.m. Eastern, I will be in the IRC channel. Come and talk to me there and call me horrible names and stuff.
So we don't get a very special bin rev radio about this or anything.
No, I mean they're two separate entities. The four they're somewhat related, but the radio show and the forums they're still two.
Oh
separate.
Shoot! I accidentally disconnected Night Lord. Will you please call back, Night Lord?
Oh damn, we're not doing good tonight, are we?
No, I think the working for a week solid without a day off has totally frazzled me, because like the last caller I screwed up the joining on the conference bridge too.
Man, that hurts us. All of our listeners we're calling them childish, and then we're hanging up on them. And
yeah.
Anyway, so our show tonight is how to make your own radio show, and obviously we're not a shining example of that tonight, especially the live one.
Yeah.
So, well, we're really going to cover two things. We're going to cover, like, you know, recording live and recording long distance, and then we're going to have to do, like, you know, tape shows versus live shows. And actually, Night Lord's going to call back in and just talk to him on IRC.
Showing up on the queue here. So,
yeah, I guess the whole easiest way to do it is the whole recording in person thing, because basically you're all sitting there, you can actually make it sound like a real radio show. The easiest way to do this is actually found, and it's called it M-Audio USB Duo, and it's what it is a very nice little you can fit in two separate inputs and two separate outputs, or I'm sorry, two separate inputs and combine it to one separate output, and then you can remix it all into one line in on your computer, and you can all make it all nice and sound good. Is Ninja Night School actually, I can't actually have listened to it, so I'm kind of feeling sad about this, but...
Well, you know, the ninjas are on their way then, right?
Oh, jeez. Well, I got to call Ninja Burger and summons the defenses.
Yeah, you are wise.
Is it a call-in show, or is it just like, you know, people actually physically meeting in front of each other or whatever?
No, it's pretty much just me by myself recording, or every now and then when I do have a co-host. So far they've all been in person. We've all been in the Hidden Dojo studios.
All right, we have Night Lord on the line now.
What's up, guys?
Sorry about that, Night Lord. Actually, no, Strom should be apologizing.
Yeah, I already did apologize. I picked him up separately and apologized profusely.
So what's your question?
Too many people talking at once. Okay, here's my question. Well, as some of your listeners may know, Nauticon's coming up in April, and I am actually speaking there. Well, as another as another thing I want to do while I'm there, I want to do a live version of my own podcast, which is Knights Roundtable, if nobody knows about it. But and I was wondering what I could do to go about producing a live podcast for, you know, an hour or so, and what that all encompasses to do that.
Well, I mean, you can't do a live podcast. That is, you can do a live radio show.
Yes, that's what I mean, a live radio show.
Well, with that, I mean, it's a whole question of just getting it up to like an MP3 server or an MP3 streaming server. I'd like to humbly plug BDP Hack Radio here. You can set up your own shows, and you can have it like play, you know, I'll upload a show every week and you play it at this time, or you can actually have it set up like we do, is previously we used to have it, you know, I upload a show before 9:30 every Tuesday and it would play that radio show up onto the stream. But right now what we're doing is we're actually streaming live to the MP3 server. So, we'll discuss
how
this
all... That's what I would like to do. I would like to actually talk and like you guys do the show right now. So people we could give the room number and people could like drop in to the room that we're at and like sit down and be on the show and everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, Strom, you're the one who set all this amazing stuff up. Do you actually want to describe how this all happened?
Yeah, this is pretty easy. What's going on is we're all connected to a MeetMe conference on my asterisk box here in my apartment.
Mm-hmm.
That runs something called... It runs ISIS, I think. It's an ISIS plugin for Asterisk. Unfortunately, that only streams in Og Vorbis. I mean, I guess they could make it stream MP3, but since the binner server is only MP3,
mm-hmm.
that creates a bit of a problem. So what happens is I've got to run an IceCast server on my PBX. So I stream from the conference to the to the PBX on the same box. And then I run something called Stream Transcoder. And that transcodes from Og Vorbis to MP3 and upsamples it to 22.5 kilohertz like the server requires. And then streams it on off to there, and from there you guys listen to it live. The call-in lines are handled by... should I get into the call-in lines now or show you that later?
Oh, let's do the whole kit and caboodle right now.
Okay. The call-in, basically people call in to our co-located asterisk box and sit in a queue, and then Zygmunt answers the calls, screens them, and parks them on specific extensions, and then he tells us the parked extension and gives us a synopsis of what the caller is calling about. And
which
then,
actually isn't always true, like Druid did.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if they lie, but I can always dump them off the conference pretty quickly.
Oh, no, we got socialed!
Yeah, socialed, OMG! We're not immune! And that's pretty much how it works. I pick them up here, and I bridge them in, and that's how that all works.
Sounds complicated.
It's actually... not as complicated as it sounds, although the only problem is currently I've got to turn everything on manually at the beginning of the show, and I still haven't cron-jobbed anything.
No.
Yes, but if you're just on a podcast, it's going to be a bit more of an issue. But if you're on, like, for example, a live streaming server, and you can actually set one of these live servers up pretty easily. It's a program called IceCast, like Strom mentioned, and you can actually have your own going on there. It's just more of a matter of coordinating everybody to, you know, tune into the live stream. Like, you know, all your listeners, you'd say, oh, I have to be at this URL. Like, you know, you can go to nightlordsroundtable.com or whatever your URL is if you have one. And they can point their Winamp or iTunes or whatever it is over to what it is, over to that URL, then it'll start playing the stream. It's just more of a matter of coordinating everyone over to it. If you want to get a whole lot less fancy, I believe, I mean, you can. The way Stank actually had it set up when he was recording it, he basically had a speakerphone right next to a omnidirectional microphone, and that's how he took in call-ins. Like, if you listen to the old radio show, you can hear the echo sometimes from the speakerphone. And he would sound like he was talking into a microphone, and I would sound, if I were calling in or whoever the guest was, or the co-host of that week, would sound like they were coming out of a speakerphone, which is very rudimentary, but it works. It did produce a very fine radio show with it. So,
yeah. See, realistically, what I prefer to do, actually, is instead of having Ratchet and I talk into telephones, I'd like to have us talk into real microphones so that the quality of our voice is higher. But the problem with that is then we'd have problems with the time synchronizing correctly.
Yeah.
Because of the time delays involved in streaming the audio to each other.
So we've been thinking about that. But
yeah.
Basically, the you can either set up, if you're familiar with Asterisk, you can set up the Meet Me conference like we do, or I think the easiest way is pop in on a Bell's Mind Bridge, get a speakerphone, get an omnidirectional mic, and hook into Winamp and set up Icecast.
I wasn't even going to do the phone or take call-ins or nothing because, like, everybody that was going to be on the show was going to be sitting right there. And I was going to get a, you know, a nice studio-quality microphone and everybody's just kind of talking to it. And then if anybody wanted to drop by the room and be on the show, then that's the way we were going to do it. But we weren't going to do call-ins because I figured that would be more complicated.
Oh, see, I thought I heard you say that you actually wanted to have it on like a bridge or something. So, yeah, that actually really simplifies things because there's if you go to either like you know Shoutcast or Icecast, there's all kinds of crazy tutorials online of how to set up a live streaming server, and basically all you need is a laptop running Winamp, and it'll encode everything. It's all built into the client. Like back,
cool.
I was doing this back in 1998.
Now, what about the software? Is this free, or is there a price?
Icecast is free, and Shoutcast is free. It's all, I believe Icecast is GPL, and I believe Shoutcast is free as in beer.
Excellent.
And Winamp, you can run on Windows, and I'm pretty sure there's a way of doing this via Linux as well. I'm just not 100% sure how to do it, because I haven't ever done it on Linux. Actually, I haven't done it in Windows since 1998, or maybe 1999, I don't know. I'm really dating myself here.
In the 90s.
Yeah. Literally, this was like a cold, like, I basically started this whole, like, free radio thing in my college dorm floor. It was amazing. I like, oh, geez, this is really cool, and I pointed, like, all my friends to it, and instantly there was, like, tons of people just like, oh my god, I want to have my own radio show.
Sounds familiar?
Yeah. It's amazing how history repeats itself.
Yes, it is.
So,
right,
yeah,
guys.
You want to go to Icecast. That's at icecast.org, and I believe it's shoutcast.com.
Okay.
And Winamp, as always, winamp.com.
Well, all right. Well, thanks a lot. Keep up the good work, and shouts to Pound Infonomicon on Freenode, because Infonomicon wails. And talk to you guys later.
Hey, thanks for calling, man.
We have two off-topic questions in the queue, and we'll see if we'll get to them later, possibly if we run out of material. But we don't want to really. Now that we've started on the whole streaming radio thing, we're going to try to keep with that.
Yeah. So yeah.
Sorry, Andrew, and sorry, Mark S.
Yeah. If you guys want to stay on the queue, we will gladly pay for you to sit on the queue. But.
Yes, it's an 800 number. It's free.
Yes, it's free for them. Pay for us.
Yes. Costly, 2 cents a minute. 4 cents a minute for both of them.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. How are we going to afford this? I'm going to break the bank.
My credit card is bursting into flames as we speak.
Yes. So, Strom, you're good with this whole audio recording thing. I mean, what kind of, like, omnidirectional mic do you have? Or do you have an omnidirectional mic?
I don't think I have an omnidirectional. I've got a unidirectional mic that I talk into. But it's not omnidirectional. I mean, if you're going to be talking into a radio show, if you're doing something where it's the only thing you want the listener to hear is the sound of your voice, use a unidirectional mic, because an omnidirectional will pick up not only your voice but every stupid sound in the room, whereas the unidirectional will kind of filter out anything that doesn't come directly into it. It's not perfect, of course, but it does help cut down on that background noise.
Actually, I have a cheapy Radio Shack unidirectional mic, and it's amazing what kind of background noise can actually go on, and it will just completely filter it out. I was like, ooh, wow. Because shameless plug, if you've listened to my TWAT episodes, that's all recorded on my Radio Shack mic, and every once in a while, it's like a background noise, and I used to pause the recording. I was like, oh, I'm going to have to record that over again. And it was like, oh, I can't hear it. So It's pretty cool.
I'm thinking of doing a twat. How long must they be? I forget.
Like 15 minutes.
Okay, cool. I can do a twat on ACTS.
Yeah, we'll do a whole we'll point out links to radio shows that we like later.
Mm-hmm.
As for mixing and recording, like I was saying, there's the M-Audio USB Duo, and I've never actually used this personally, but I've seen it in use in various radio production environments. Like my school actually played with something like this for a while. And what it is it's basically a recording device that you can basically mix two line ins together and have it preamped out and all kinds of wonderful stuff and just mix it into one line in, so you can plug it into your computer and have it all done automatically for you and not have to worry about getting two sound cards all mixed in. As for recording software, Low-Tech, what do you actually use to record?
Well, I have been using a program called Total Recorder for the first part of my show, and I just recently, within the last week, downloaded Audacity. And I've been playing around with that. And I have to say I've quickly fell in love with that as well, although I am still very deeply in love with Total Recorder just because it's so damn simple.
Well, Total Recorder, yeah, I do enjoy Total Recorder, and it has also other advantages for recording. But Audacity's nice for, like, it's very professional and kind of, well, semi-professional. The advantage of Audacity over basically every other recording program we're going to mention right now is that it's free, and it's free as in beer and free as in speech. So you don't have to pay anything, and you can open up all the, you don't have to open up the wallet for it. Audacity, it's Audacity, .sourceforge.net. That's a free program, and I actually have used it to edit up the early versions of BinRev Radio before I plunked down and bought something else.
I'm personally a big fan of Adobe Audition. I quite like it.
Adobe Audition basically is Audacity, but it's much better, but unfortunately have to pay through the nose for it. I'm not sure of Total Recorder is a really nice program. It's very much subscribed to the Keep It Simple Stupid program principle. So,
yeah, Total Recorder, it's like an $11 program for like the standard edition, which like I bought that back in '96 or whatever, and I still use that same code. And as long as you're not trying to do multiple tracks and stuff, it's perfect for doing a lot of things. I moved to Audacity for doing a lot of the multi-tracks, like if I want to have background or different things, you know, different layers going on in one track. If you've got multi-tracks, it turns into a real big pain with Total Recorder. You've got to start fixing external devices, and it's just a lot easier with Audacity.
Well, with Total Recorder, it's very much just Recorder, but Audacity, you can edit, you can mix, you can do all kinds of fun, groovy things with editing. Another program, I believe it's Mac only, it's called Amadeus 2. It's A-M-A-D-E-U-S 2. It's a Mac only audio editing program, and it's for pay, but from what I've heard, it's pretty good, but I don't really have a dedicated Mac that I use for editing. So I don't really do it. Another front for Mac one is GarageBand, which is the free with iLife. So it's kind of free, but not really.
Free as in Steve Jobs.
Yeah, free. Exactly. Again, Adobe Audition, which is for pay, very much so, and I believe it's cross-platform. If you find that you can actually find older trials online of the program that was called before. It wasn't actually developed by Adobe. The program before
was Cool Edit?
Yeah, Cool Edit. And that's basically Audition before Adobe bought it. And it's really not that different, to be honest with you. I'm not sure what the heck Adobe did, but they did something and they renamed it.
Well, they bought the company out, and then they like pretty much killed all the other products, because it was the only decent one, I guess. And I'm sure they put their crack squad of programmers on it and got it to start being less buggy. Because I've actually noticed that the version of Cool Edit before Adobe bought it and what it's like now, it seems to be far less buggy, so.
I've never actually used Kool-Edit, so I'll just take that to bed. Yeah, so Strom, do you have any like recording tips? So when you're actually setting up there, you got the whole microphone and you did all the audio prompts and.
Well, I mean, first off, get a microphone stand. It sounds pretty horrible if you hold the microphone in your hand and you can bump it into things. Make sure that when you speak clearly and enunciate so that people can understand you. Don't mumble. Don't say
design instead of deny.
Yeah. And if you're doing something pre-recorded, don't be afraid to mess up and start over because you can edit it. That's the beauty of being pre-recorded. With live, you know, if we fuck up, we kind of have to just live with the mistake. But with pre-recorded, you can always change whatever you did.
You don't want to know actually how many times I've pre-recorded something and I just go, and I just stop and I go, blah, 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 blah. And I hit stop, and then I rewind, and then I record over that bit, so no one's none the wiser.
Yeah.
No, I totally agree. I've done the same thing, and actually, I recommend doing that because I would call improved what I would have put out because I've went back and listened to what I recorded and go, no, maybe I'll try something else so you have another idea. So, yeah, experimenting and restarting and trying a million times is probably part of the process for a decent audio show.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, it increases your effort, but at the same point, you're going to make something that sounds incredibly better.
Yes. When I was recording all the prompts for DEF CON by phone, there were tons of times when I just went blah, 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 up and restarted and then edited things together mid-sentence, in fact. Like, I would screw up a word. I wouldn't want to go all the way back to the beginning of the paragraph, so I'd just back up a few words and start talking again. And then you can actually splice things together so they sound pretty natural. In fact, there was one, actually, where the person had written one incredibly long run-on sentence. It was actually completely impossible to speak the whole thing on a lung full of air. You would have to stop, breathe, and go again. So I got really bored, and I decided to do something silly that I'm sure nobody noticed, which was record as much as I could on one breath of air, you know, take in a deep breath, back up a few words, go again, and go as long as I could. And I had to do that like 3 or 4 times. And then I spliced it all together, so it was one, just as it read, one extraordinarily long run-on sentence without stopping or breathing.
Only you would do that, and only you would find that funny, but it actually is kind of humorous. you silly grammar Nazis, you'll go to any like price to actually write it all out. And
grammar, spelling, Uber, all this. So wait a second.
Yeah, man, you should never
come
to Kentucky. You'll have such a coronary.
We're drifting over to grammar Nazis, dear God. Any other recording tips, or that would be about it. So basically,
well, I mean, also the thing is
a quiet place, I would assume.
Yeah, make sure the other thing to make sure is make sure you're not overdriving your recording device. I hear this all the time, where there's only a limited dynamic range you can record, and you can't record louder than. I mean, if you look at the waveform on your screen, if the waveform is going past the upper and lower limit of what you're recording, if you're simply flattening out, you're too loud. Speak more quietly and step away from the mic or turn down the sensitivity on your mic because it's just going to sound like crap afterwards.
Much like Ben Rive Radio does.
Yeah. And also make sure you turn off automatic gain control because it'll make things sound really terrible.
Well, that's a personal preference, really. If you want to have like a full dynamic, you got to feel the full dynamics of a conversation of some sort, turn off automatic gain control. If you're just recording something for the hell of it, it doesn't matter. Of course, you know, personal preference, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
So, well, this all kind of...
Could I also interject real fast
yeah.
with when, like, recording your voice? Also, like, you know, if you've got a microphone that's maybe not the best quality, I'd also like to remind everybody that voice itself doesn't require a high bit rate. So, like, I have a cheap microphone that I actually found in the trash. I dumpster dived and found a microphone and said, okay, I'm going to do a radio show. And to bypass part of the low quality, I record in 24 kilobits a second. And so it's not going to pick up, you know, so much
What sample rate is that?
It's the same you guys encode the show at when you're releasing in 24 kilobits.
Well, I encode at 24 kilobits a second, but there's a difference between the encoding rate and the sample rate. I mean, you can encode at 24 kilobits a second and do anywhere from like 8 kilohertz sample rate to I think you can do like
44.1
kilohertz.
At 2205.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, 2205 hertz.
Right, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, okay.
But, and also, one thing, like, I was recording in my room, and I've got, like, a little ceiling fan. We've got, like, a little dog in the house. And so when I was just recording and talking on the mic, you could hear the clicking of the fan. You could hear the dog running up and down the hallway. And so what I decided to do is actually turned on some background music in the room, put a speaker up next to where the microphone stand was, just as an experiment, turned the sound down, you know, loud enough to where it would come through on the mic, but not actually distort or anything or sound too bad. And that was enough sound to actually cover up all the background noise and actually improve the sound quality overall. So feel free to experiment with lots of different things. Just because you think it may not work doesn't mean that it won't. Sound is real finicky, especially different microphones react totally different ways. You'd be surprised what you could get away with, you know, in different situations. So definitely experiment.
Totally. I think one of the things few people realize is that your brain unconsciously edits out so many things that you're not actively listening to. There's so much background noise going on that your brain doesn't think about that it's automatically edits out, and then when you try and record something, you go, wow, I can hear all this stuff that I haven't been paying attention to. One of the things
it's amazing when you're actually playing that back.
Mm-hmm. One of the things Iron Geek is pointing out in the channel is that there are, like Audacity, for example, and Adobe Audition as well, have noise filters. So if you're doing something pre-recorded, you can actually actively filter out some of the background noise.
Yeah, my buddy, Lord Drakenblut, he sent me a good tip where if you were going to use your Audacity for editing, at the beginning of your sound file, leave 2 or 3 seconds of silence at the beginning, and then when it goes to filter out, it'll pick that. And he sent me a recording I'm going to use on the show, and he's driving down the road in his truck, and you would never know it. He sounds just like he's sitting in his room. It was amazing. So I would like to recommend that to everybody. That's something I'm going to start trying out.
I got to say, that's pretty hardcore if you're recording your show in your truck.
Well, I did an episode of Bin Rev from Interstate 5 once upon a time.
Well, yeah, you did, but it sounded like crap.
Yeah.
See, if we actually had... Actually, no, that was pre-recorded, wasn't it? But anyway.
Yeah.
Look at that, Strom. You're as hardcore as Lord Draken, whatever his name is.
Draken Blut.
Yeah, Blut.
That was close. Just long U rather than a short U. So since we're kind of, okay, we covered, like, you know, this is all good if you're actually, you know, just one person or two people sitting out at a table, you know, recording your show. The other thing is, what happens when you're not, when you don't do that? Like, for example, Strom's in L.A. and I'm in Boston, and Low-Tech, I don't even know where the heck you are.
I'm in Kentucky.
You're in Kentucky. Well, it explains why you want to mention Kentucky when we're talking about grammar Nazis.
That's right. I live in the bourbon capital of the world. A lot of whiskey around here and bourbon.
Sit on down. Road trip.
Oh, yeah. Bring it on.
Road trip. We'll have to take a bus and just get a designated driver.
Hey, everybody come to Nauticon. I'll bring plenty. You know, Whiskey River.
Yeah, I'll have to mention Nauticon at the end of the show. I'm not sure what that is. But anyway, so we're, you know, three people with the whole, you know, separate geographic areas here.
I think we're all in different time zones. Kentucky is central time, isn't it?
Eastern.
Oh, okay. Well, so much for that theory.
Well, you know, also back in the default radio days, I mean, Doug used to be at his house, and Lucky used to be somewhere. And Decoder used to be at New York, so that was like three separate areas. And
yeah,
that was even pre-asterisk. No, yeah, they used to be really hardcore. So one of the ways we do, and we already sort of covered it with Strom here, is the whole Asterisk setup thing, and you want to just get the Icecast and Meet Me conferences and stream it all that way. The more, I don't know what you want to say, more Stone Age way of doing things. Back in the day, this is the only way of doing it, is actually what Doug used to do is he used to have a phone line, and he used to have a voice modem that would cover into the, you'd call into a bridge on his voice modem, and he would start recording the bridge, and the voice output would go into his sound card input, and used to record everything via, back then it was Cool Edit, I think, still, or at least I thought he was recording it in, and he used to record it with that. So that was pretty hardcore. He actually did it via an analog tape one week, if I remember correctly.
Oh,
DefaultRadio.com. I believe that was it's always fun to listen to. They good show they made out.
Yeah. Let me think. One of the cool things about doing it with Asterisk is you can actually set Asterisk to record it digitally. That's what we do. The Asterisk.
Oh yeah, true. We didn't even mention the monitor command.
Yeah, the monitor command will record it all digitally for you, and then you can just load it into Audacity or Adobe Audition or whatever you happen to be using, and edit it up there. So it's really quick and easy. And despite that, I haven't put the last week's show on yet.
You know, I wasn't going to mention that.
It really is quick and easy when I get around to actually doing it.
It's quick and easy. It basically takes me about a. The first couple of times you did it, it used to take me like an hour or two.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it was like the first time I did it, only like three and a half hours to edit the damn thing up, mainly because I had a very slow computer. But on a medium fast computer, I can usually get it done in about an hour or so.
Mm-hmm.
Editing it all up, splicing it all together,
upsampling,
doing a couple of outtakes,
compressing,
sampling, and then uploading it and putting it all in. So it's pretty quick.
Yeah.
Another way of doing it is actually, I actually haven't seen it, but apparently Skype has a way, if you get one of their phones, you can set it into a audio path and just have it record the same way.
And as long as you wave the appropriate dead chicken at it, it'll work.
Well, yeah, I mean, Skype's always interesting. Of course, with Skype, you'll actually sound very horrible.
Yeah, Skype
even more horrible than we do.
Yeah, Skype, we're actually using real long-distance quality telephone connections, whereas Skype uses like mobile phone quality or worse. It uses internet low bandwidth codec, and it's absolutely abysmal for recording a radio show.
Sounds like there's a fire in my city. I hear all the fire engines roaring by.
Do you smell burning? Do you see ashes?
I don't smell burning, so I'm not going to evacuate, and I'm going to continue doing the show.
BinRev Radio live from the Great Boston Fire of 2006.
Well, the last great Lynn fire was 1980. I was, 3 weeks old at the time, I believe. Not even that.
Yeah, firestorms are more of a Southern California thing, I think.
Yeah.
Well,
or Texas in this
flooding.
Case.
You guys are flooding down in California, aren't you?
Well, it was raining yesterday, but not today.
Yeah.
I don't think it was flooding, per se. I know
us East Coast boys, we have no clue where you actually are in relation to this Napa Valley thing going on here.
Oh, Napa Valley is like a six-hour drive north of me.
We don't know this stuff.
That's north of San Francisco.
So we don't know nothing about them fancy maps now.
So,
well, we're glad you're safe.
Oh, yes.
Mainly because we're calling in on your Asterisk box, and if you're not here, we're not doing much of a radio show.
Yeah. I really should set this up so it does everything on Telstar, but we
won't get into that. Then finally, the third way of doing this whole long-distance thing, you can do a very, very old school. You can actually have a recording patch worked into your telephone, like, for example, a Western Electric 2500 set. And whenever I actually do a version of this, whenever you hear like the stupid soundboard things, I usually have a laptop hooked up to my 2500 set, which is dialed into the conference, and a recording patch is connected up between them. And I play sounds on the computer, and it gets relayed to the conference. And I can record the conference if I want to do it that way. But we use Asterisk, and Asterisk is a whole lot better than doing that.
Black Ratchet says, Asterisk is fun.
Exactly. So, That basically, we want to get into publishing, I guess, now, is we're going to humbly plug DDP Hack Radio, which is ddphackradio.org, and that's, they'll provide, you know, streaming servers, and you can get your own radio show, and you can upload it, and they'll play it for you. And you can get a good audience. I mean, we have, do you know how many people are currently on the stream?
I can look.
Yeah.
One moment, please.
I think right now the maximum it could be 50. I might be wrong.
We have 30 people listening to us
now. Yeah, 30 people listening to us. And
hello, all 30 of you.
Yeah. Thank you for coming by, listening to us.
Yeah.
Makes us feel like we actually want to do stuff.
Yeah, well, let me do like a really rudimentary quick calculator. Where's my calculator? I've actually got a real calculator around here somewhere.
Well, it's a heck of a lot of bandwidth.
I'm going to pull up my... Oh, here it is. It's right in front of me.
It's about 720 or so.
Yeah, 24 kbps each. Yeah, 720 kilobits a second. I think that doesn't even include like Ethernet framing and whatnot. So
no, of course not. That's no overhead. So
yeah,
that's a heck of a lot of bandwidth for those who don't know. That's like really, that's really pushing it.
Yeah. So at least 1.5 megabits a second, I would assume, for 35 listeners.
Yeah. And I believe we go all the way up to 50. So that's a good service. And I believe the email address, if you want to actually use it, they're all open. And just as long as you provide a radio show on a fixed schedule, they'll put you up there. Stank's pretty good about that. Do you want to plug Podcast Incubator and tell us what it is there, Low-Tech?
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. Podcast Incubator is a site set up for basically... where you can become the media. Basically, the whole gist is that we don't like all the podcasts that, you have to listen to sponsored by whatever and this and that. You know, we think that you should just be able to sit down and do whatever you want. And so if you would like to do a podcast and wouldn't have to worry about, dishing out some cash for hosting and service and bandwidth and all that, well, then you can come to Podcast Incubator. And what we do is we will host your show. We'll give you a site to put up all your stuff, and we give you a podcast and hopefully a little bit of audience and a place to ask questions and learn, because Podcast Incubator is just one big community of people all learning about recording, and we're all here to help one another. Droops and Nightlord are actually working on a live distro of Slacks. They're calling it Podcast Fertilizer, and you're going to be
full of shit.
No, but
I like the name, actually.
It's pretty funny. Yeah. What you'll be able to do is you'll be able to throw this live distro, boot off of it, and it's going to have all the software and equipment that you need software-wise to record and produce a podcast. So that way, if you don't have the software or don't have a computer to do all this on, then if you've got a thumb drive and a CD drive, then you can mount everything off the thumb drive in theory, and you can produce a show that way. So we're trying to make as many tools as possible for anybody that wants to get out there and produce content. And one of the things about Podcast Incubator is that it's not twat tech. You don't have to be all hardcore technology-based. If you've got a hobby or something that you like or interested in and you think other people would be interested in it, then you bring that to the table and share it with everybody. It doesn't have to be technology-based. It can be about anything you want. And we recommend that if you're going to do a podcast, do it about something that you like doing.
That's amen. Yes.
If you don't have fun doing your show, it's not worth it. And just set down the microphone and go do something else. Don't waste your time.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the main draws for me doing my show, is that I have a blast doing it. It's just so much fun. And the fact that there are people out there that will actually download it and listen to it, that just takes it to a whole nother level. So, and it's something I'll continue to do until it's not fun anymore. And I don't ever see that happening.
One thing that occurs to me is we should actually have gotten Jason Scott on here, because he had some really cool points when I was talking to him at TourCon about doing your own show and particularly about having content that you like. And one of the points that stands out to me is, so many shows, often they start off with a really good idea, but they can never seem to find enough content, and it kind of fizzles out at the end. And if you're not sure that you're going to be able to have enough content to have it, you know, go continuously open-ended like we do, a really good idea is to make it, you know, a set series of recordings. Like, say you're going to have 10 episodes, you know, a series talking about something. And in episode 1, you're going to start off talking about this. In episode 2, you'll talk about this next thing. And you plan it out ahead of time, and, you know, by the time you've gotten up to 10, you've completed a whole series on something. And then, you know, you can take a break, and then you can restart a new series on something else. And that'll, I think, and that anyway, what he claims is it'll lead to higher quality material.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's for those of you who don't know, it's interesting trying to come up with a topic every week.
Oh yeah, it is not as easy as you'd think. We typically, I mean, like, I didn't even have any say in the topic this week. I've been working so hard, I haven't even had time to think about it. And what happened? And Ratchet just messaged me up this afternoon and said, "Hey, let's do it about this." I'm like, okay.
It wasn't this afternoon. It was yesterday afternoon. I think so.
I don't remember. Time,
I don't remember either.
Time is starting definitely to just like dilate and morph inside my head.
Okay, it was definitely yesterday, I believe. It wasn't today because basically I more had of a because I had to talk to Droops last night, so. Yes, but definitely we come up with a lot of the subjects we're going to talk about either, you know, Saturday or Sunday or sometimes even Monday.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes we have really good ideas way ahead of time and they fizzle out.
Yes, yeah, so that's more happened more than a few times.
Yeah.
I'll tell you guys one thing I did in preparation for Ninja Night School before I ever sat down and recorded my first episode. I came up with 10 show topic ideas. So that way I had at least 10 shows ready to go,
mm-hmm.
you know, that, you know, topics, you know, and I would go out and pick the topic and then make some kind of show notes, and then I would just kind of let it sit, and I would come back to it every so often, add a little bit more, and then that would kind of, oh, well, you know, I should talk about this because, you know, it's kind of like this, but it's almost too much to incorporate with that one show, so I'll make it its own show, and it also gives you a little flexibility because you, when it comes time to record, you may not feel like in the mood to talk about a certain one thing, or you know what I'm saying? So if you've got an option already picked out there for you ahead of time, it kind of helps that, well, I'll go with this. And not to mention, as I am recording, I continue to come up with new ideas as things go, as time progresses. So I've always got a somewhat little repertoire of ideas available to me. So.
Well, we actually did do that when we first started. I had about like 10 or so topics. However, we've done much more than that. So we're into the topic today. I actually did say to him, say to Strom this week, he's like, "Man, we need to sit down. We need to have a brainstorming session."
Yeah.
So we can get a list now. And we can actually figure out all this stuff. We actually I did get a couple of emails this week, and this week and the week before about stuff we should do. So hopefully that comes out. So.
Have we done an episode on portable recording devices yet?
Can't say that we have. So we'll have to talk about that during this brainstorming session.
Yeah.
Strom, do you have a radio show you want to plug?
A
podcast or something?
As embarrassing as it is to admit this, I'm on this show, but I really don't listen to very many podcasts. In fact, I don't listen to any podcasts. Not even this one. I put it up, and that's the end of it.
All right. Low-tech, how about you? Besides Ninja Night School, you've plugged that enough this way.
I have to say I've got quite a few favorites. I definitely always am waiting for the next Gamer Radio and the Bellcore Radio. Those are definitely two of my favorite radios. And also there's another, it's not necessarily tech-related, it's a show called Josh in Japan. It's this dude who just lives in Japan, and he talks about what it's like living over there, different cultural things.
Oh, cool. That sounds interesting.
Yeah, it's joshinjapan.com, so check it out. He's a military guy, but he's pretty laid back. He's real cool. So he's got a lot of interesting, neat stories. He does some sound audio tours, riding the train and the different different little nuances. It's really fascinating.
I'll have to check that one out. That sounds cool. I'll plug TWAT Radio, twatech.org. I'm occasionally on it, so technically I'm not completely independent, I guess you could say. But actually, I've fallen behind the past week or so. I'm kind of disappointed in myself. I haven't actually listened to much of it. But it's a fun radio show.
Did some guy do a twat about your Yapple system?
Yeah, some noob. I didn't listen to it. I was like, God, who the hell uses the Yapple? Oh, yes, there's an episode about Yapple that I haven't listened to, and I'm very sad about that. But thank you, Low Tech, for doing an episode on Yapple. Do we still have our one caller that's been sitting there forever? We can try to get to him before we go.
Yeah, let's see. Let's try 7001. Hold on just a second here.
He's literally been sitting on hold for, oh, I'd say about at least 20 minutes right now, and probably another 20 minutes beforehand sitting on some way or another. So he's been very patient. We're going to get to him. I wanted to try to wrap everything up so we can give him about 10 minutes or so. So yes, twatech.org. It's a daily show, and it's a new person, or not a new person, but a different person every day doing some different topic. I did a little bit of the Boston telephone system, and before that I did something on .NET and all that good, yummy C# stuff. So I'm not sure if our person's still there, but Strom is still talking to him.
We've got Mark S. here.
All
Hello,
right.
Mark S. Hello, major latency.
No, someone's talking at me.
Oh, okay.
Oh. Come on, you're on the radio. Jeez, man, what the heck? Don't you appreciate this whole bin rev and how we do everything professionally?
That's right. xrev.com.
What?
All right, well, thank you very much, and
wow.
Yeah, I don't know how that
works. About the .com is where the party's at, bitches.
Hey, Trump, why don't you just go up?
I don't know what the hell.
Branko!
Yeah.
Wow, maybe we'll stop doing live shows.
Yeah. Yeah. We just like to say, fuck you, Mark S. Thanks.
Yeah, I never liked him anyway. He had the honor of being the first person I ever blocked on my AIM list as Black Ratchet.
Wow.
So that's,
let's see if 7002 is still there.
I don't think he is. I think he got popped out.
Well, hey, while Storm is checking, I'd like to take a second to remind everybody that at Podcast Incubator, like I said before, it doesn't have to be technology related. And one thing that I would really like to see that I think there's a real major lack of in the scene is entertainment-based shows. You know, there's a lot of creative people out there. I know you guys are writing short stories, sci-fi, stuff like that. There is so none of that that is existent around, or at least that I found. I would love some awesome little sci-fi shows. I don't know if you guys have ever listened to Tales from the After Now that Sean Kennedy has done.
No. Nope.
That was a real cool little audio show. You know,
What do you mean by sci-fi? Did they just discuss sci-fi, or is it sort of like an old-school radio show? Or?
Yeah, like the old-school radio shows. You know, you've got
really?
Background sound. You know, I would like to see some more of that. I'm actually in the process of working on a little series. I'm going to get them all recorded before I set them out, but I want to do that myself, just as an entertainment. You know, I'm going to set up a series of stories, you know, just sci-fi based, you know, and go through it like that, set up some background, you know, and the noise, the sound effects, and I'm going to see if I can't get a couple of my buddies to come over and help, you know, do different voices, read different parts. You know, that's something I think would be very entertaining because we're all very technology-based. So if we put out some technology-based, you know, fantasy, science fiction, stuff like that, it's going to be really good and detailed.
I mean, doing your own radio show like that's pretty hardcore. If someone manages to pull that off, I'll give them, like, mad props for that. Can't believe I just said mad props, but...
Well, you could say crazy props.
I'll give them crazy props. Super elite props.
Or perhaps Meshuggah props.
Yes. Do we have someone on suit?
Sorry.
Do we have anybody on the queue?
Yes. Do we? I don't know.
No.
Oh.
7002 disappeared, and of course, Marquez was an asshole, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry to say that the drama did pour over to the radio show, and it's such a shame.
Yes.
It's sad. But anyway, life will move on, and everything good. So, we have some announcements. Let's try that again. See, that's normally what I would do on the radio show, except I would edit it out. Houston 2600 meeting will be this Friday, actually. All 2600 meetings, but Booter wants us to tell us that Houston 2600 will be there. HOU2600.org. It will be at Ninfa's Express in the Galleria next to Nordstrom's. Parking, they say, Red Level Garage 2. Oh, sorry, Red Garage Level 2.
The Foley parking lot is closest.
Yeah. No.
Well, I have no idea where that is, but I know what Nordstrom's is.
I know what Nordstrom is, too, but I've never actually been to one. Yeah, HOU2600.org. Boston 2600.
Los Angeles 2600.
Yeah, Boston 2600 is in Prudential, as always. Between the two Omega clocks, just showing up. I won't be there. I'm moving the next day, so oh well.
Yeah.
LA 2600.
Yeah, Union Station, then Philippe's, then Denny's.
Denny's, yay.
Denny's. And
Low-Tech, is there a Kentucky 2600 or someplace you want to give an announcement for?
No, I wish. I think I just found out the other day about, I think there's a Louisville computer users group or something. I believe Iron Geek is a member of it. So I just found out about that, so I'm going to try to start getting involved with that. But other than that, I think there's very little computer activity in the state of Kentucky. I think we're good to get light bulbs.
Too busy getting drunk on bourbon, eh?
Right, yeah. I mean, you know, we're all wearing shoes. You know, what else more do you people want?
Also, Stank Dog, see Stank Dog in person. He's trying to get BinRev 407 started, and that's 407.binrevmeetings.com if you want to get all the information on that. He just wanted me to give out the website. But I believe he will be there, if I'm not mistaken. Low-Tech, do you have shouts?
Oh, I've got more announcements.
Oh, we still have more announcements?
Yeah. Layer 1, if you're looking for a conference to go to and Nauticon is too far away, if you're on the West Coast, Layer 1 is roughly the same time in April in Pasadena, and I will be talking there. I'll be giving a talk at Layer 1. I've just been formally accepted.
But can you tell us what the talk is?
The talk is going to be on smart cards.
Ooh.
Yes.
Ooh, nice.
How exciting.
Very exciting. And hopefully I'll give the same talk at DEF CON, but catch it at Layer 1 first, because that's going to be the leader version.
Low-Tech, when's Nauticon happening?
Nauticon is April 7th through the 9th in Cleveland, Ohio. So if you guys are on the East Coast and in the area, you guys should come check it out. A lot of us from the Infonomicon are going to be there. I know Droops and Iron Geek. See, Pony Boy is going to be up there. A Night Lord, we're going to be doing a lot of audio recording. We're going to be having a lot of fun. Podcast Incubator is going to be running a contest. We're going to be giving away a grand prize, is a ticket to Nauticon. So if you're interested in going, you don't want to buy a ticket, come to Podcast Incubator. We'll have the contest up in the next day or two. So feel free to check it out. And it's a pretty easy contest. It's Be the Media. So just submit some kind of media. Check the website for more details. And you can win the ticket to Nauticon if you want to go.
Check the website for more details. Boy, don't you sound all official.
Well.
Check the website for more details. I need that legal disclaimer.
No purchase necessary.
Yes. Word or prohibited.
I'm sorry. I didn't know we had more announcements. So is that it for any announcements now, or can we go into shouts?
Layer1.info. Layer 1's April 15th through 16th at the Pasadena Hilton.
And do you know what Nauticon's website is?
It's nauticon.org.
All right. Okay. Shouts. Low-Tech, do you have any shouts?
Yeah, I'd like to give shouts to Sean Kennedy and the Rant Media thing. I think this is their seventh or eighth year. I can't remember quite which, but either way, their seventh or eighth year anniversary. So awesome to them. I like all the stuff that they do. They're pretty cool cats. I want to give shouts to my roommate, Bitbiter. He's like my real-life hacker homie. He taught me a lot of what I know. and he did the cool graphic for the Ninja Night School website that you see, the little banner. So definitely a shout-out to him and everybody that's listening and everybody that wants to contribute and be part of the media. Don't be shy.
All right. Well, thank you. That was a pretty good shout, I got to say.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll give my shout this week to Mark Spencer for making my life a little easier.
Yay! I think it's like Mark's got like shouts like two or three times on the show from you.
Heavy?
I think so.
Huh. Well, it's usually just because I can't think of anybody to give shouts to, and he's the only person who's like been extraordinarily helpful. So shouts to Mark and shouts to you, Ratch, for helping me select that USB sound card at Fry's today.
Oh, does it actually work?
Yeah, it worked beautifully.
Oh, spiffy. I'll send a shout out to Stank Dog, setting up the meeting, going to all that stuff. Shouts to Low Tech, who did a very good job being second best this week.
Thank you.
Shouts out to everyone else. No shouts out to Marques, though, because he's weird. Anyway. I don't know. Does anyone have, the site of the week is podcastincubator.com, mainly because I didn't fill in the notes.
Yeah. Woo! Side of the week, also layer1.info. I figure I should pimp that because it's my friends running it. Yeah.
Yeah, might as well. And you're
and I'm talking, so yes. Come see me talk in person instead of on the radio.
Can I actually see him talk rather than just listen?
Yeah.
Email radio@binrev.com.
You get to watch me gesticulate madly.
Whoa.
Ooh, yes.
Our closing music tonight is by Nordbeat. It's a song called Moonflight. I've plugged Nordbeat before on the show, and I forget what the website is, but they basically, I got this from mp3.com back in the day. Anyway, we'll see you next week. Same hack time.
Same hack channel.